Now serving F27 at DMV window number 16.
Okay, Rose, we're second in line. Perfect, Rose. You remembered the birth certificate? Yes, and we have our electric bill. Excellent. We'll be Real ID ready in no time. Real ID ready to visit our grandson, Ricky, at Fort Bragg, then fly to New Orleans for Jazz Fest.
Pardon me, are you talking to yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I am.
Talk yourself into Real ID readiness by May 3rd, 2023. Make a plan at dhs.gov/realid.
Hi, this is Todd Graffadini, voice of your New Orleans Pelicans, and you're listening to Tina and Jeff on Floors Truly.
Live from New Orleans, home of good food, good music, and tons of fun, this is Tina and Jeff with Floors Truly. Hey, Jeff, happy Tuesday. How are you doing this week?
You said tons of rain. Is that what you said? Home of tons of rain?
Yes, tons of rain today, tomorrow, Thursday.
Oh my gosh, I looked at the forecast and it's just like one straight shower. I'm like, who pays the water bill for this? This is not fair.
Yeah, you know, I don't even care because it's been such a great week and so many awesome things are happening in New Orleans. It can rain on our parade, literally. I could care less.
It can, and not to worry about any cancellations, so that's good. But I think that we've got the rain, and in some ways it's welcome. In some ways we absolutely hate it because we have the drainage issues that exist in New Orleans and throughout Southeast Louisiana. But I tell you what, from what I've heard, it's made the fishing really good. It's going to make the crawfish crop really good. And next week. We're a week away from Good Friday, which is the peak of the crawfish season. So,
and if anybody has been at Home Depot, Lowe's, or your local nursery this past week, we are in a process of spring planting tomatoes, cucumbers, you name it. So this rain is really good for all our new crops that we've just planted because a lot of us like our homemade vegetables. So it is a good thing. It is a good thing. Too much of a good thing is a bad thing. But yes, in this case, we do need the rain. It does cool things off. We don't want it to flood, but it's part of the thing. You know, we always say that April showers bring May flowers. So it's like this time of the year up until like the end of April, it's to be expected.
Right. We turn into Seattle, basically.
Yes, exactly.
In the year. So that's
but at least it's not right. 90 outside.
No, it's not. It's actually, I took the dogs out earlier and the wind was whipping and the sky was going from this kind of nice, you know, bluish gray. Within the 5 minutes I was walking the dog, it went from, you know, I think it was 11:15 and immediately it was like 6 p.m. at night. And I'm like, this is not, this ain't good.
I was on the interstate in the midst of all of that earlier this morning. So it was not fun at all, but I had some things I needed to take care of. So I was driving out it, but it was great because I was listening to my music and everybody, they were talking about all the bars and restaurants that have opened back up this past week. And we've got live music back in New Orleans for the first time in a year.
So how
can you let the rain really get you down when all these amazing things are happening? And it just, you know, it just makes me so thrilled because I know like Tipitina's huge place in New Orleans, known all over the country, had their first open to the public show in a year this past weekend on Friday night.
Tipitina is a place that has hosted some of the biggest names in music from across the globe. A place that we've seen on the biggest stages, the Grammy Awards has talked about Tipitina's, and we've seen it all the way throughout the world that Tipitina's is really one of those absolute hubs of music. And it was so good to hear that they have got the sound coming again, because there was a time that Tipitina's was in a very questionable position.
Yes, it's scary. It's scary when you're back. A city known for its music and its culture and great food. And some of these, you know, literal icons of the city are shut down and you just don't know what's going to happen. So yes, Friday night, Ivan Neville played their first show. It obviously limited seating because of COVID, because they're still, you know, we're still in restrictions, but everything went really well. They had a great show. The Howlin' Wolf opened for the first time and had live music for the first time in the year, which was great. They have a phenomenal show coming up on the 26th of this month. The Rebirth Brass Band is playing a show on the 26th of March at the Howlin' Wolf. It's limited seating. Get your tickets while you can, because I know that show will sell out. very quickly.
Yep, Rebirth. This is probably really going to be Rebirth's re-entry into the music scene. And I tell you what, it is going, if you're at a show like that, even, well, hopefully if you're at a show like that, you're going to get really the feeling of just exactly what that name is, a rebirth. It is like going to a revival and being saved. There is nothing short of that. Of course, right now, technically, dancing is still outlawed.
It's like Footloose in New Orleans.
Yeah, it's really kind of like that. You can have the music play, but you can't dance. Okay,
we'll take what we can get.
Baby steps.
And it's pretty cool because Tipitina's, they had seated fans. They had their tables socially distanced, masking required. All the precautions were being taken. People that attended said it was a great time. It's just a sense of normalcy. Bourbon Street was packed,
slammed,
but again, people were social distancing. There was limited amount of admission into the various bars and clubs. People were masked. I was happy to see those images, so that makes me feel good. Music heals. We say this all the time. It heals you, it helps you. It's such an uplifting thing, and for us to be a city that like that is in our heart. I mean, like we bleed music. So for this to be at this point and things opening back up and having live shows, I am super, super excited about
that. We're seeing the restaurants get packed. You know, I was listening to our Lieutenant Governor, Billy Nungesser here, who some people like him, some people don't. And Lieutenant Governor's job is really to be that tourism official, to be the welcome.
He is the liaison of tourism and hospitality.
And this is a guy who, you know, he had COVID a few months back. He got through it. And he's a guy that was really talking about the other day. He says, one of the things Louisiana is doing really well is that our people are getting vaccinated. The city's doing really well with it. The state's doing really well with it. And he says, you know what you can do? Go get your vaccine and go celebrate with a dinner. Go out and celebrate it. Be able to really be thankful that you now are in the position to be able to go out and kind of put yourself into the public again. And there are people who have been absolutely completely shuttered this entire time. And I thought that was great advice. We're seeing that turn up with the way the restaurants are being crowded, the way people are getting out and trying to just venture into the streets. And you're right, people are still being responsible in this. I'm so proud of the people in this city, in this state, for the way they've reacted. Whether the rules were stressed or relaxed, it didn't matter. Everybody still wanted to do it the right way. And I love Louisiana
for it. I'm going to tell you, I had a discussion with a friend of mine a couple of days ago,
and we were talking about all the things that have changed and the adjusting to the new norm. And she said it best to me is that we know how dire the situation is. A lot of these places, if we didn't open back up soon, we're not going to survive. We're not going to make it. So our business owners, our managers, our bar owners, managers, and all the attendees and their customers, staff, they're all doing it the right way because we know what this means. We know what all these businesses and means to our hospitality and tourism industry. So if things shut back down again, sadly, a lot of these smaller businesses are not going to survive here in New Orleans. And we don't want the landscape of the city to change. I mean, that's what people come here. And that's what they expect. They expect that, you know, that real authentic Cajun food, Creole food, the good music, the bars that you can just pop into literally. It doesn't have to be a Friday or Saturday night. It could be a Tuesday night and you're going to have a singer up there, someone local that's going to be just as good as the main headliner that's playing on Friday night, because we're so rich in the music and culture here in the city. So we were talking about that and she just said, you know, everybody knows where we're at this point. We don't want to regress. We don't want to go back to phase one or phase two. We want things to continue to open. Our vaccine rates are going up more and more every day. In fact, there was supposed to be a 24-hour COVID drive-through event in Metairie tomorrow and Thursday, but because of the weather that we're having here, they postponed it to next week. So, I mean, people are getting vaccinated as the numbers keep going up. for vaccination rates, then more and more things will open up. And then people who aren't wanting to get vaccine and that's your choice, they're still masking. They're doing everything that's expected of them. So we know what this means. You know, the old saying, you know what it means to miss New Orleans? We have missed New Orleans.
We missed everything.
So keep doing what you're doing. I'm so proud of everybody. And just, you know, we said this over and over. We're so accessible on social media. I've had people already asking me about Jazz Fest, about Voodoo Fest, about what's going to happen, you know, in the next couple of weeks. There were some events we talked about last year on the show that are now virtual. Crescent City Connection is a Crescent City Connection 5K is a virtual event this year. The Tennessee Williams Literary Event is a virtual event this year.
I know.
I still love that. But these are all things we're still celebrating because we're not at the point to open up for that. But there are festivals and events that are going on. We talked about the Greek festival. The dates are, we're waiting on the squares. That's all we're waiting on.
And we talked about, you know, it would be better if they just schedule it. And if it cancels again, it's okay. Well, you know what? The trajectory we are on, you better make your plans to be at the Jazz Fest this year.
You will not get tickets if you don't start making your plans now.
You will not get in the door.
I can promise you. There's too many people anticipating this coming back. And I know the Crawfish Festival in St. Bernard this year is going to take place. Something really cool, because I'm a gardener. Everybody knows that. I'm posting my pictures online all the time. This is the first ever Flower Fest coming up next month, and it's to benefit St. Jude Children's Hospital. 2 days, and it's in Point Marie subdivision, which is up in Baton Rouge. Every year they do St. Jude's Dream Home. The tickets are for sale. They're $100. So they're
Already sold 2/3 of those tickets
already.
They said it on the news earlier
yesterday in the morning. They said they've almost expect to be sold out by the end of the month.
It usually takes months to sell those tickets. Like, they have gone through them in a matter of 2 weeks. It's amazing.
Yes. So they're hoping to raise $10,000 at this event. It's the first annual Flower Fest. And the cool thing about it is if you like me and you love working in the garden, they're going to have some of the best floral designers in the state at this event. And they're going to have different contests and exhibits. They're going to have food. It's the first annual one. It's going to be outdoors, and you'll be able to buy your tickets for the St. Jude Dream Home as well, if there are still tickets available at that point, because this event's going to be April 3rd. But how cool is that? An outdoor event. You can social distance, and who doesn't like flowers for a great cause? St. Jude. It doesn't get better than that.
It really doesn't get better than that. And, you know, we're fortunate now, New Orleans, we have a lot of things that really do a lot of legwork to make contributions to St. Jude. And we have a very special place to that. We have the National Shrine of St. Jude located right here in New Orleans, right outside the footsteps outside of the French Quarter. So we have a very special connection to St. Jude. And if you've ever been to that facility in Tennessee, that is amazing place to go see if you ever get the opportunity. But we have so many things that are happening, so many for charity. We talked about a couple of weeks ago when we talked about St. Patrick's Day and the stuff they were doing for St. Michael's School with the Irish Channel Marching Club. And they had a drive-through donation drive. They had all of the bars set up. All the Irish pubs were set up to do green beer, and it was free. All you had to do was leave a donation for St. Michael's. And from what I've heard, it's been a massive success. So people are still keeping that spirit of giving. And that is a big part of what we do in New Orleans. People on a river are happy to give. That's what the old song says, right?
It doesn't even have to be monetary. A lot of these organizations will do potlucks. They'll do auctions. People donate different various items, especially a lot of sports memorabilia. If you're a Saints or Pelicans fan, a lot of sports memorabilia gets donated. They make potlucks. I mean, it's amazing. Me being a member, and I talked about them before,
the Touchdown Club. They always have events throughout the year. We have a rookie crawfish bowl, which is always really fun, having those rookies come in here and they don't know what a crawfish is, much less how to peel one. So it's cool to introduce them to that part of it. And then they get to kind of get familiar with the city, and it's a great time. And they raise money for various charities. They raise money for the Leukemia Foundation. They raise money for Steve Gleason's No White Flags organization. So, I mean, it's a good time. Go out, good excuse. We don't need a good excuse to eat crawfish, but I mean, the money's going to a great charity, and it's just, there's so many different events that are going to be coming up. And as things continue to open, and I, like I said, finding a way to adapt, I would think it'd be really cool if Tipitina's, Highland Wolf, Cat's Meow, all these bars in the French Quarter that are having live music start live streaming it as time goes on, so people that aren't able to attend can watch. I know there's been talk of being able to do that. I think it would be an awesome way to incorporate fans and music lovers outside of the area that can't go there, because, you know, we are limited seating. But even, you know, our fans and listeners that are out of the state of Louisiana, they want to be a part of it as well.
Well, I think one of the things that's going to be interesting when all of this is said and done is we look back at the technology that will be really advanced because of the social distance environment that we've had over the last 12, 13, 14 months. That's really going to create a platform that, you know, I remember back in 2007, it was actually my wedding day, believe it or not, my first wedding. And there was the World Concert that was happening in several different places across the world. It was kind of like Live Aid, but it was like the World Day. And one of the great things was that you could buy an all-access pass to watch the whole thing on TV for 15, you know, 20 bucks, whatever it was, and see all of the acts across the world, kind of like what they did for Live Aid. And I think that people are going to take that formula and really put it into the club. Yeah, maybe you can't be at Tipitina's for a show, and maybe it won't quite be the same, but maybe there's a way that you can get that access. $9, half of it goes to the band, half of it goes to the venue, and you can live stream those performances and still have them in the comfort of your own home, whether you're out of town, whether you're sick and you can't go out, whatever it is. I think we're going to see more of that technology really enter the marketplace on the experience side going forward.
Yes. And another really cool event that's going to be happening, and it's a little ways off. It's in June. We talked about it on the show last year, Hogs for a Cause. It was canceled because of COVID. They are back this year in Belchase, a new 15-acre festival site, June 4th and 5th. They're going to have live music, lots of good food, limited tickets will be available, of course, but they are back this year. So that's kind of, I'm feeling like between that and the Crawfish Festival, those two are the ones to kick off new normal of festivals for 2021.
We're kicking it off, and we're seeing more of the crawfish cook-offs showing up that used to be a staple throughout March. You know, those are starting to pop up. A lot of the churches are getting those things going. We are seeing a return that we've said, oh, well, there'll always be something else that keeps us. No, we are going to get together. You can keep us down, but we're proving if you just use some common sense, do things the right way, get through it, and we can all survive together and come back stronger than we ever were. And if this town ain't done it before, no town ever has. You know what I mean, right?
Yes, and speaking of coming back better and stronger, Hubie Pies, New Orleans' favorite, Louisiana's favorite dessert pie.
Now, you got to be careful talking about this, because every time somebody talks about a Hubie's pie, my mouth just gets to watering, and I will never forget the last one I had in 2012.
Yes, July of 2012, the news broke very early. We were all sitting in traffic headed to work that morning.
I was sitting in the parking lot of the Walgreens on Jefferson Highway and Garden Road. That's how much that affected me, is that I knew exactly where I was when I heard that news.
I was on my way to work that morning and I heard about it and I said, no, because I love Hubie chocolate app. I mean, oh my goodness.
And you just, you hear it and you think, okay, they caught on fire, they're going to be closed for production. It wasn't until later on that day when we realized the magnitude of the damage. It was a catastrophe. It was complete catastrophe. And pies were the leftover pies. And I mean, I'm telling you, when you could go to, you can go to the gas station, the grocery store, Hubie pies were on the shelf. I think like 3-4 times a week they were delivered. There was tons of them. By lunchtime, they had talked about it on the news that people were buying them up. So I, on the way back to work, stopped at the little Exxon station right there on Causeway and picked up the last couple of ones they had on the shelf. And I mean, I savored them because that was it. That's like you said, it's been since 2012, and Hubie's has been looking for a different location to get started back up with their production. They were trying to partner with a local grocery store a couple of years ago and use their equipment, but because of just the magnitude of what goes into to making these pies, they really needed their own facility. So they basically
facility. And what people need to realize about Hubie's is that the machines were not something that was current technology. They were all destroyed. And this was old technology. These machines were 100 years old, and they required people with the knowledge. They required these particular machines. And one of the things that made Hubie's what it was that every single pie needed to be identical throughout their history. And that is one of the things that's held them up from reopening, because we've seen some other companies, and God bless them, they've tried to come into the market, do a similar thing or yes, whatever. And I appreciate their efforts, and some are better than others, but it ain't a Hubie's pie. There's no doubt. There's no mistaking that. Yes, but I have to say that one of the interesting things I read about one of the holdups was that, there was the man who invented the pie machine that Hubie's made, and there was the Hubie's family. Well, the grandfather, who was the last person to buy one of the machines from the grandfather of the guy who owns the machine company, they got together and had to figure out what those machines were. So the grandson of the Hubie's family has actually bought one machine that was saved by the grandson of the machine.
Yes, I thought that was really cool when I read that.
I think that is incredibly cool, because what Hubie's has said is, we will not come back into the market until the paper has the same crinkle, the pie has the same feel, the same taste, the same temperature, the same consistency. And I think that really speaks to Hubie's and what that company really means to us. And that, because we know us in New Orleans, we love our local products. We are local-centric people, but we all say, you know what? This ain't what it used to be. This ain't there no more.
No.
We always say it. And so they realize that we are going to demand perfection. And maybe it's a personality trait that's wrong with us, but you know what? I'll take it, because you come out with it the right way and we're going to be buying it off the shelves.
25,000 pies were produced prior to the fire coming out of that plant on a daily basis. 25,000 pies. If you don't realize, I mean, these little things, you know, that were what, $249, I think, a piece, or $229 a piece. I can't remember exactly how much they were.
I think $229 is where they were at.
25,000 pies a day. And they consistently turned these things out and people bought them. And it wasn't people just here in New Orleans. I mean, all over purchased them. You could get them at the grocery store, at the gas stations. I mean, they were just little sugary heaven.
It was the distribution was like Reese's peanut butter eggs. Mm-hmm. Like it was everywhere, anywhere that you could go and buy something.
The thing that was really cool, they had their staple chocolate, which is my personal favorite. They have apple, lemon, peach, pineapple, coconut. That was their year round regular flavors, but they would come out with like sweet potato and cherry and blackberry. So if you were fans of those flavors, like you knew, like in the spring when those would come out, you'd want to scoop those out. The cool thing is they froze really well. Not that.
Oh, they froze beautifully. Because absolutely.
You always ate your Hubies, but they froze really well. So, and I actually saw somebody on, I think it was Facebook, said that they still had a Hubie that they purchased the day after the fire in their freezer, and they kept it for like just moment, you know, keepsake reasons. And I thought that was pretty cool because
that doesn't surprise me at all.
I'd have ate my Hubie already.
Oh, look, I did. I bought. So I told you I was in the parking lot of the Walgreens at Jefferson Highway and Garden Road when I heard the news that the plant had burned. And of course, they had gone into the segment of the talk show that morning about how severe it was. And I went in and I bought all of them. My last Hubig's, I believe, was the 1st of September that year. And I went through all of them and it was a very, very depressing.
I could, there's no way I could have saved mine. Feeling. No way.
but I tried to save them as long as I could, but I tell you what, I missed them. I can't tell you how many days you stopped to get gas. You stopped to get whatever.
They were right by the register. And you right can by help the register. Yourself. You
grab it and you're like, oh, breakfast, boom.
Yeah.
Grab the pie. Walk
not the
out.
Healthiest thing, but they were delicious. So, no,
but you knew what you were getting every single time. And that's what I respect about what they're doing right now. They're waiting and Tina,
to get it just right.
I got to tell you, you know, the new plant is only about seven blocks from my house,
Jefferson Highway.
And I'm worried about my health. Okay.
Well, to everybody listening, no worries. Floors Truly will keep you posted on all the updates because Jeff and I are both huge fans of Hubies and we love them. And we will definitely keep y'all because I was so excited to share that with y'all on social media. That would just literally made my day. Like I said, this has been just an incredible week. We've had nothing but great news coming out of New Orleans this past week between the live music at different locations. And we've got Hubie Pies coming back. We've got all these festivals and events that are coming up and just everything is just seeming to fall into place.
Crawfish prices went down today. It is just one thing after the next that things are going the right way in this town again.
Yes. And you got to just love it. It's a great, exciting time for Floors Truly, an incredibly exciting time for the city of New Orleans. And I can't officially announce this just yet, but I have two really great special guests that I am trying to get on the show. And both of them, our fans, our listeners will love to have them on the show. And we're working on confirming them.
Is one of them Joan of Arc? I have a feeling that you're working on that.
You know, I can never, ever tell my secrets, but yes, we're working on two really great guests for y'all that y'all are going to just love. We're just trying to nail down the dates. Cause you know, people have things going on just like we work and they've got, you know, in their industries, I don't want to give out too many clues in their industries. They're busy. And especially now with things amping back up, one of them are particularly busy trying to get their thing back going. But yeah, we've just got so many exciting things coming back up and it's a joyful time. It makes
If I can give a couple of quick exciting notes. First of all, congratulations to the LSU Tigers. I realize they lost this week to Michigan, the number one team in the tournament. They took them all the way in one of the most interesting games in the tournament so far. How great is it to have March Madness back and our LSU Tigers are part of it? It was really great to watch that game. And so kudos to them with that success. Arnola Gold started their first game last weekend after the pandemic. They had a sold-out crowd, which was very limited seating, and we could not get tickets, even though I tried. And they finished in a tie in their opening game. The Arnola Gold play right there at the Gold Mine, which is formerly Zephyr Stadium. I don't know what it was called with that other team that was
we don't mention that.
We don't talk about that very much, But a couple of really, again, we're talking about positive news that is coming out of this city and getting back to the things, Tina, that we talked about a year ago when we started this show. And that should be is really what the defining moments in this city are. And even though I did say, I have said that I am putting my personal guarantee that the Pelicans will make the playoffs, and I still believe it. They lost a couple of games that were very difficult, but they won their last one, and I think that there are signs of good things to come there.
They got the Lakers tonight, actually.
They got the Lakers tonight, and you know what? I ain't worried about the Lakers. I think this will be a signature win again for this season for the New Orleans Pelicans. And of course, this one you'll be able to call me out on by the time this is released, you could just text me.
Well, the Lakers are missing two key players tonight. So,
well, you know, c'est la vie is all.
Yes. We don't miss you at all. Not at all. But no, I am so excited for that. And, you know, we talked about doing live remote shows, and we're getting to that point where I think within the next couple of months, Flores Truly will be able to go on the road, if you want to call it that, and start doing live shows at different venues, whether it be restaurants or bars that if we want to promote and we know people there. And I mean, obviously, who doesn't want us to do the live shows and talk about the food? Because we know how you love us giving good recipes. And if we can do it
Truly live from the French Quarter Fest.
Yeah, it would be very difficult.
I'm already talking it right into existence. It's going to happen.
With a mouthful of crawfish, Monica, trying to do the show.
Absolutely. That's what we're supposed to do.
It is a good time. It really is a good time. And I'm just, like I said, I'm just so proud of all the things. It's been a really long year, but we got through it. And I knew we would. I always knew we would. It was just a matter of patience and time. And I want to tell our listeners again, you know, I said it on our anniversary show, but thank y'all for sticking with us and for all the feedback, even the constructive criticism to get us to this point. I mean, we've got some really exciting things ahead for y'all. And it's just, you know, the old saying is good things come to those who wait. And we're almost there to be able to do all the things that we wanted to do when we initially planned this show. So it's a great time for New Orleans. It's a great time for Louisiana. It's a great time for Flores Truly. So I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. And thank you to, you know, Jim and to all of our Flores Truly family and to you, Jeff, as well for just, you know, sticking it out. It's been a rocky road through this past 12 months.
Oh, but, thanks.
But there is light at the end of the tunnel, and no, it's not a train.
Yeah, you're right. For the first time, we can say it ain't a train. And I got to tell everybody listening, you know, we started this journey so full force, and we hit that broken part of the track so quickly. Tell your friends, tell your family, share it. This is something that is about to get bigger and bigger. And this city is about to be back to where we were. I'm sorry. It's not about to be back to where it was. It's about to be even better, baby, than it ever was before. So share it with your mama and them and tell them to check this show out.
Yes. And as always, you can check us out on social media. I am at the Nola Girl on Instagram, on Twitter. And we also have our Flores Truly podcast accounts on Instagram, a Facebook page as well, and on Twitter at Flores_Truly. And also, if you want to listen to us on YouTube, we are on YouTube with the Jampa Media Network. We are on all your available podcast apps, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, iHeartRadio, you name it, we're there. Subscribe, share it. Be a part of the fun because it's only getting better, bigger and better for the next 12 months.
The best is yet to come.
And tell everybody where they can find you, Jeff.
You know, you can find me at the Nola Rola on the Twitter sphere. I got to get me one of them Twitter accounts is what I used to say. And of course, you can get on Facebook. You'll find me, Jeff Momus, M-A-U-M-U-S. That is the French spelling for it. And if you want to come visit me at home, just find out where the new Hubig's Pie facility is and walk towards
the smell. And Jeff won't be home. He'll be at the warehouse.
Walk towards the smell of the boiled crawfish. You will find me. I promise you.
So even though we only record once a week, stay tuned to our social media accounts. We'll be updating with any breaking news, events that are going on in the city. Once I get our confirmed guests for the next couple of weeks, we'll be breaking that announcement also on social media. So thank y'all again for joining us. I hope you have a fabulous week. And this is Tina and Jack on Flores Truly.
We coming back, baby.
For the ones who get going when the going gets tough. And the ones who know we're tougher together. For the pathfinders breaking new ground. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as fast access to experts and 24/7 customer support. Because we know you have people depending on you, so you can always depend on us. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Your AC works overtime all summer, so be sure to replace your old air filters with new Filtry air filters. They recommend updating HVAC filters at least every 3 months all year round. So order your Filtry air filters today at Filtry.com. Let's clear the air.